Please listen carefully.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, as you know, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, happy day after Earth Day-worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, 2020.
And before we jump into today's solution, Summers, can we do a mini check-in?
I think we should do a mini check-in. I am really excited today because my baby girl is 9 months old.
Happy 9-month-old birthday, Brennan.
It's crazy if you think about as a company, as partners, everything, just the unbelievable support I have had from you guys in welcoming this new little person, this unexpected new little person into our world. Thank you, Christy, and thank you the whole Optimist Daily team for making it something that we could all manage, having me have a baby.
Yeah, well, it's great. It's we gotta grow those optimists, right?
Exactly. How are you doing today, my fellow optimist?
I am well. I think the we're in the middle of a very warm season now. We were sort of cold and overcast, and now it's really, really warm in my neighborhood, which somehow has lifted my mood. I don't know. And also, I love that you shared with me about the students in Spain who are listening to our podcast as their part of their English lesson. I love just knowing that little factoid.
I know, it makes me very, very happy. And let's, you know, if you're a teacher anywhere in the world, please encourage your students to listen to the Optimist Daily Update. We want this to be accessible, solution-based thinking and news. And there's a lot of tricky stuff out there right now that people don't need to be reading. But we promise that the Optimist Daily, you can listen to the good stuff here.
Right. All right. And so here are today's top solutions. Our first one is a very fun one, which I just read about here. I hadn't heard about this before. It's from the health section of the Optimist Daily. Drones are accelerating the speed of coronavirus testing in Ghana. Testing for coronavirus has been a struggle in Ghana. Apparently, health officials in the cities of Accra and Kumasi would wait for hours or even days for delivery trucks to visit rural medical facilities, collect batches of test samples, and then deliver them for analysis. The delivery time is now far shorter, thanks to drones. In April 2019, U.S.-based startup Zipline launched a drone delivery service in Ghana using its fleet of fixed-wing drones to transport blood, vaccines, and other medical supplies to remote areas. 1 year later, on April 17, 2020, it officially launched a delivery service to speed up coronavirus testing. Through this service, Zipline collects samples from more than 1,000 rural hospitals at its existing distribution centers and packages them according to World Health Organization guidelines. Its drones then fly the samples to either Accra's Noguchi Memorial Institute for Medical Research or the Kumasi Center for Collaborative Research. The packages containing the samples are then dropped via parachute to the waiting medical staff. On the first day of service, Zipline drones made 4 flights, each more than 70 miles round trip, to deliver 51 coronavirus test samples to Accra. The following day, it began delivering samples to Kumasi, a 60-mile round-trip flight, and it plans to continue the deliveries for the duration of the COVID-19 outbreak. This approach allows Ghana to speed up coronavirus testing, as it no longer needs to wait for batches of samples to arrive via truck. As soon as samples arrive at one of Zipline's distribution centers, the company can pack them up and send them off to one of the nation's major cities for analysis. The use of drones also eliminates potential contact between truck drivers and the coronavirus. Zipline is certainly pleased to be putting its drones to good work and is hoping to bring its technology home to America to help speed up coronavirus testing here in the U.S. And I just think this is a fun, innovative use of technology, even though it's kind of a scary technology to some folks. It's here. May as well make use of it wherever we can.
I think there's been so much question about, you know, what is a good use of drones and how do we not pollute our skies and have, you know, creepy drones flying through our neighborhood? And this really just shows us that all technology can be used for good, and it may lift some of the veil on the concerns about drones. So it's pretty exciting. Right. Our next story from the environment section of the Optimist Daily. Releasing grazing herbivores into the Arctic could help protect permafrost. A good Earth Day story. Along with polar ice and glaciers, warming temperatures have also been having a melting effect on permafrost, the frozen layer of soil in the Arctic. In an attempt to protect this frozen ground, a team of scientists has come up with a rather unorthodox plan. The idea is to fill up the Arctic with hordes of grazing animals like reindeer and bison, which could help keep the permafrost frozen by trampling it, a trick they say could save 80% of the Arctic's permafrost until the year 2100. When snow falls in the Arctic, it typically serves as a thick insulating blanket, protecting the permafrost. But due to rising temperatures everywhere around the globe, including higher latitudes, that insulation threatens to allow the soil's temperature to rise to the point that the permafrost begins to thaw. That's where the animals come in. According to the simulations conducted as part of the study, large herbivores not only disperse the snow insulation as they walk around, but also help stamp down and compact the soil beneath them. The next step for scientists is to investigate how the animals would actually spread across the landscape. And anything that is using animals to further improve and protect animals and protect our Earth, I am all for.
Amen to that, Summers. I totally agree. Yeah, I think this is a fun story. We've published in the Optimist Daily about the idea of bringing mammoths back through genetic engineering to the Arctic as a way of helping to preserve permafrost. And I think this is sort of similar to that idea.
Yeah.
Well, another environment story for our next solution. Thailand is counting record numbers of rare sea turtle nests. If there's one winner from the whole coronavirus pandemic, it might have to be the turtles. Earlier this month, we published a story where endangered hawksbill sea turtles hatched undisturbed on empty Brazilian beaches. Then, just a few days ago, we reported on leatherback turtles in Florida, which are enjoying a renaissance, a good start to the hatching season, without the human disturbances causing problems for their nests. Well, today we bring you a similar story from across the world. In Thailand, environmentalists are reporting the largest number of nests of rare leatherback sea turtles in 2 decades on beaches bereft of tourists. Leatherbacks are the world's largest sea turtles, and they're considered endangered in Thailand and listed as a vulnerable species globally by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. The 11 turtle nests authorities have found since last November were the highest number in 20 years, said the director of Phuket Marine Biological Center. As beautiful as it is to witness turtles hatching and crawling to the sea, the fact that turtles are thriving without people around us tells us that perhaps we should consider vacating the beaches that are known to host turtle nests, at least during the hatching season. And I just think that these resurgence of nature stories are some of those things that are the silver linings that we're hearing about when we're all hunkered down in our homes these weeks.
Well, Christy, when you and I sat down and did our vision boards back in January, I don't know if you remember, but mine was covered in turtles and I have sea turtles all over it. And the words, the world in 2020 is kind of surrounded by sea turtles. And
yes, and I can see that every time that we talk on Skype or Zoom, because your vision board is right behind your head.
Yep. So between the sea turtles and the giraffes, Those are the animals that I'm kind of rooting for. I mean, all animals, of course, but I do, every time we have a sea turtle story, it makes me laugh because it's right there on my vision board. Another story that actually harkens to something that's on my vision board is about forests. From the environment section, of course. How reforestation could help prevent another pandemic. The big question right now is, how do we prevent another pandemic from occurring? As governments and medical professionals grapple with how to keep future generations healthy, the answer could be found among environmentalists. Infectious diseases are on the rise, and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that 3 out of every 4 new infectious diseases in people come from animals. Ebola, SARS, H1N1, and COVID-19 are all examples of disease strains that come from animals. Climate change is altering animal breeding and migration patterns, while habitat destruction draws animal populations into closer contact with humans. Both of these factors increase the transmission of disease from animals to people. Research has shown that between 2003 and 2015, For every 10% of the forest the Amazon lost, it gained 3% more malaria cases. Habitat preservation, such as reforestation, as well as comprehensive climate change mitigation, could be the key to preventing another pandemic like COVID-19. Environmental action can also reduce the severity of disease symptoms. In the case of COVID-19, air pollution exacerbates symptoms, so increasing tree cover to clean the air could reduce the severity of COVID-19 and other respiratory ailments. Climate change and infectious diseases are both serious threats facing our planet. As with many other crises, the issues are intertwined. Reforestation, habitat preservation, and emissions reductions are key for protecting ourselves and animal populations from disease and the destructive effects of climate change.
Again, Summers, I think this is another wonderful story for Earth Week, as we are reporting on environmentally focused stories from all over the world in the face of these shutdowns, this global stoppage, the great pause, as one of our readers called it, and that the fact that these issues are completely intertwined, climate change and infectious disease and just the health effects of living in a polluted environment. All right, well, in our final story for today's podcast from our science section. And I love this because I really believe that citizen science is one of those things that is underrated and has some of the most benefit to coming up with new innovations and different ways of thinking about problems and solving them. And this is from our science section on the Optimist Daily, that you can contribute to science while observing nature in your own backyard. From analyzing distant galaxies in order to help astronomers better understand the universe, to protecting coral reefs from climate change, there are plenty of cool ways that you can contribute to science these days. And if you've been particularly attentive to the nature around you while in quarantine, there's a way to turn those observations into data that can power scientific research. And here's how. If you're able to spot animals or observe plants in your backyard, you can log them on iNaturalist, a website and an app run by the California Academy of Sciences and the National Geographic Society. And it gathers and collects observations from millions of people around the world and makes them available for researchers. On the other hand, if you don't have wildlife nearby or you're yearning for something more exotic than backyard critters, you can contribute to one of the projects on Notes from Nature, which relies on volunteers to transcribe handwritten notations on museum specimens so they can be available to scientists worldwide. Current projects range from Florida plants and California flowers to butterflies and other bugs, even parasites, if that's your thing. Since the beginning of the COVID-19 outbreak, participation in both of these citizen science projects has spiked, showing an increased interest from people to collaborate with each other and build community however they can. So if you don't want to take up knitting, you can log online and decode notes or log your observations from your backyard and help the world scientific community.
I love that decoding notes thing. That's just such a great project, and definitely something that if you've got a little bit of extra time, or it would probably be a great educational experience for kids. I think finding some of these great projects like this could really expand kids' experiences and help the world. It's that citizen science that you always encourage us to look for. And this is a really great solution for how to spend time in this very, very crazy time of the coronavirus. Christy, how was your Earth Day yesterday?
It was nice, very nice. I got to spend a little bit of time outside. I took Tucker for a good nature walk, and my cilantro is starting to sprout, so I was very happy about that.
Oh, perfect. Well, we had a good day, too. Got a little outdoor backyard playground built, actually front yard playground. You know, the birds are singing and the flowers are blooming, and I think it's kind of spring fever for everyone around here, too, so... Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update with your spring fever, hopefully. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. And be a part of the solution-changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Christy. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you, Summers. Have a great Thursday yourself.